turning left or right, it could bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks. This ain't no matter if I'm right. Dialogue. So rise up, shout out, it's time for your voice to be heard. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Cody Talks. It is Sunday, July 14th, 2013, way too early in the morning. But when you make rookie crappy radio shows, this is the time slot you get, Joe.
I'll take it.
Joe will take it. We're joined by our good friend Joe Seiwert. Heath's over here. I'm going to get back to, I've got away from on the show a little bit talking about the personal current event. We used to kind of start it with this personal current event or what's going on in my life. And actually, with the massive feedback that we get, which is, you know, two or three things a month, somebody says something about the show to me when they see me. People said that they wanted to have it. So my massive current event, my personal current event is about a week and a half ago, a buddy of mine called and said, "Hey, let's go fishing and take our boys." And he meant like go on a guided fishing trip. And this is kind of how this friend Chris of mine operates a little bit, that he gives me a week and a half notice before we have to pack bags and go somewhere and go do something. It wasn't a giant trip. We just drove about 2.5 hours north to a lake. We went to Glen Elder Lake here in Kansas. The guide was Raider Lodge, R-A-D-E-R. I want to throw that out there because we had an absolutely phenomenal time. My friend and I and one other friend and then two of our 13-year-old boys, and we caught about 47, 48 channel cat in about 3.5 hours. And that's a big fishing trip for us. Our boys caught the biggest fish they've ever caught in their lives. And, the whole point in it is we all get so wrapped up in being busy. It's just a good feeling to take the time to go do something like that. And it wasn't a big fancy trip. It was a go up there one day, fish the next day, come back. But we spent a little bit of money and kind of did it right and went with some guides and kind of ensured some success. It wasn't expensive. It was not the kind of numbers that anyone, that pretty much if you can afford the gas to drive up there, you can afford to go do it. Take the time to go do stuff like that because it was an awesome experience. One of those things that was fairly cheap and very little work on my part and created a memory that my son and I are going to have for the rest of our lives. And also one of those things that kind of you end up really enjoying it. And then you kind of look and you get pissed off at yourself and go, man, I should do this kind of stuff more often, you know, because it wasn't some big, huge planning or, I don't know. It was just so easy to do. And made such a big impact on me, at least as a dad. And I think on my kid, just had a great time. You know, when you hear them excited, when they're telling their buddies about what you went and did with them, that you kind of knocked it out of the park. I think most of the time my kids are going to their buddies and making fun of me for the things that we end up doing together, but he was excited. And that's a neat feeling as a dad when the kid is excited about this. You have a son?
That's right, 9 years old. Took him to Salt City Splash last week. So
there you go.
Similar memories.
Absolutely, absolutely. 9 is still, and I'm sure it's different with all kids. My son, it was still cool to do about anything with dad at 9. You get to 13 and you got to start putting a little thought in it because all of a sudden, it may not be. I mean, I have a good kid. Both my kids are good kids. They're not a pain, but you can kind of tell, you got to put a little more thought into it than when they were 8 and 9, because now it can be boring to be with dad.
Right.
You know, it cannot be as cool as
what's
it used
to be. What's the transitional age from 9 to 13 where it's no longer cool and you have to make it cool and hugging them is not
it's
exactly
getting there.
The best
I mean,
part, yeah.
I'm there, and I kind of have this, my son at least, kind of a big-hearted, quiet, you know, I never knew how confident he was going to be in life. He's just a quiet kid. Real polite, but at the same time, sometimes I almost think like too polite for a boy, you know, he never gets rowdy, or he didn't. We're now, I mean, he's now, he's testing dad a little, you know, and right now it's all still with smiles and jokes. But we're making that transition too. I think every father and son that spend a lot of time together, there's one point or at least really close to one point where, you have to, go out in the front lawn and reestablish who's running
right,
the house. And,
right.
I'm not 100% sure that my son's not starting to think, you know, give me a year, old man, and I'm going to be running this house. He's about 5'9" and a half, so he thinks he's tall enough. Unfortunately, he weighs about as much as my right leg, so he's got a ways to go there. But, yeah, it was a great time. Take the time to do those kind of things. I had this big speech with my son real quick, and we need to get on to current events. But you know the song Cats in the Cradle by
Harry Chapin?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, Harry Chapin. I told my son that other than watching my dad, who I think my mom and dad were just incredible parents, I can remember as a kid listening to that song, and other people get emotional about that song and they think it's sad. I can seriously remember being like 9 or 10 years old and going, that's stupid. Why didn't the guy in the song just stop and spend more time with his kids and take the time and go throw the ball? I can seriously remember having this weird revelation as a kid going, you know, it's a great song. I have it on my phone. I'm not saying it's a horrible song, but I can remember thinking, how dumb is this that you're creating this trend of not spending enough time with your son, and then poof, he grows up and doesn't spend enough time with you. I just remember thinking, that's really dumb. Why don't you not do that and fix it?
Right.
I've said that to a lot of people over my life about that song, because I really I don't want to be that guy. I mean, it's a great song, and Harry Chapin probably made millions of dollars off of writing it. But I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to get to the end and look back. And Harry Chapin wrote that song for us to remind us that we shouldn't do that. I think my son just rolled his eyes, and you know the song's not fast paced enough for him to really like the song when I made him listen to it. But I had this speech with him the other day about parenting and how Harry Chapin shaped my parenting skills or desires.
That was probably a conversation he had with his buddies that didn't go as well as the fishing
trip. Exactly. Man, you guys, my dad's a dork. You're never going to believe what he...
listen to this song.
Yeah,
you made
exactly.
Me.
Anyhow, that's my personal current event of the day. We got time before the break. We're going to have to jump off into the Trayvon Martin trial, George Zimmerman trial. Let's go this route with it. How up are you on it? How much did you pay attention to it? Obviously, everyone knows it's happening because, I really do think that our media, both sides, this isn't a political statement side, our media, in an attempt to create ratings, makes these stories on a national scale that it's, makes it a whole lot worse. And when there's repercussions out the back end of the story, there's just no doubt in my mind the media should feel some responsibility for those things. So everyone's heard of it, but how much have you stayed up on it, Joe?
Quite a bit. And I agree with you that the media tries to make a lot out of stuff that's not there. And in fact, after the verdict was read, they expected there might be some sort of backlash outside. I don't know if you heard about this. Outside the courthouse, there was protesters, and they thought there was going to be some violence. But as it turned out, there was some peaceful protest. But the amount of media that was there actually outnumbered the number of protests that they were trying to interview about it.
Yeah, here's the greatest, in my opinion, the eggshell problem with the media. The word eggshell makes no sense in that sentence.
I was just wondering.
Nothing. I don't know where it came from.
Cody's smarter than me.
My summary of the problem. We're watching the news an hour or so after the verdict is released, and they've got an expert saying that this is the perfect example of something that could incite riots. And my kid goes, Dad, isn't that racist what he just said? Why would this incite riots? Is he saying that when the verdict doesn't go the way of black people, that they're gonna riot? Now, there's some simplicity in a 13-year-old's right. mind there, but at the same time, it's something to be, why would this, there's verdicts every day that large groups of people disagree with. Mm-hmm. And I think if there ends up being violent protests anywhere, we really need to sit back and question, did the media plant the seed for that with this with the discussions? I just don't think this is really anywhere near the scope of a race issue that the media has made it out to be.
I would agree with that for the most part. I would say that it's when they talk about race issues in the media, a lot of times it is white on black or black on white. And in this case, obviously, George Zimmerman is half Hispanic, so it's hard to parlay that into a race contest. But the ratings don't go as high as if you don't make it that way.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in all of the rights of the media. And I'm a firm believer that they have the right really to do it however they want to, as long as they're not straight out lying. But man, they cause, I don't want to say they cause problems. They just throw a lot of gasoline on flames, and make issues worse. But, let's take a quick break. I want to get back into a discussion because about 2.5 weeks ago, my kids started paying attention to this trial. And so I really dug in and went after facts, so that I could make what I felt like was an educated decision, based on assumptions still, because none of us that weren't in that courtroom know anywhere near all of the facts or what was said that wasn't fact or have seen all the evidence. But, we're going to get back and we're going to talk about it a little bit. I think some of the things, I'm not really mainstream on some of my thoughts on it, but I'm understanding of both sides. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back on the Cody Talk Show.
Live in concert, Sunday, July 21st in Marion. Country Christian artist Susie McIntyre.
Just let go.
Tickets are $10 in advance and $12 at the door. Doors open at 6:30. Concert starts at 8. Don't miss Susie McIntyre in concert Sunday, July 21st in Marion at the Sports and Aquatic Center. Buy tickets online at MarionCountyFairKS.org or from the radio station at 10 East 5th and Hutchinson. Sponsored by Hillsboro Free Press.
There's a great way to add some zest to your next chicken cookout. I'm Mr. Barbecue with a hot barbecue tip next.
When grilling all your favorite meats, everyone agrees they just seem to taste better with Curly's famous barbecue sauce. Curly's has a zesty, tangy flavor and robust thickness that you just won't find anywhere else. Curly's famous barbecue sauce is always the sauce of choice. Fry mesquite, hickory, smoky, or hot and spicy. It doesn't matter what flavor you choose, as long as you choose Curly's. Try it for yourself, Curly's famous barbecue sauce.
The next time you cook chicken, try grating up some orange, lemon, and lime peel by using the smallest teeth on your grater. Mix the citrus peel in with your dry rub or lightly sprinkle all over your chicken. You'll find it a zesty taste treat that people will rave about. It's great with whole chickens or parts. I'm Bruce Bjorkman, Mr. Barbecue, and that's a hot barbecue tip.
Hi, this is Gabe Gehring, General Manager at Midway Motors of Hutchinson. We're proud to bring you this message from the Hutch Rec Commission, and we invite you to join the family at Midway Motors on East 30th today.
Already tired of the I'm bored complaints? Beat summer boredom with Hutchinson Recreation Commission. The possibilities are endless with activities for toddlers and preschoolers through grade school students and teens. Check out all of our activities inside our spring and summer activity guide at hutchrec.com. For more information on aquatics, athletics, nature center, wellness, leisure arts, and our new State of Play summer camp.
The public is invited to get caught up in the Rice County 4-H Fair in Lyons, July 12th through the 18th. A popular highlight of the fair is the annual 4-H Livestock Auction, which will be held on Wednesday, July 17th, beginning at 7 p.m. in the Livestock Arena. To draw closure to the fair week, Thursday evening at 7 p.m. will showcase the fashion review and awards ceremony. This is Garrett Sankey of the Sterling Meadowlarks 4-H Club.
Brought to you by Rice County Aerial Sprayers and Dairy Queen and Lions.
KSKU. Cody Talk.
All right, we're back. Cody Talk Show here with Joe Seiwert. We're talking about Trayvon Martin. I forgot to mention, if you want to throw some input in, facebook.com/CodyTalks or Cody Talks on Twitter. It doesn't matter if you're listening to this live or not. We'll still get the notifications if you put comments up there later when you're listening to it. Let us know what you think. I'm a firm believer in everything I've ever done from starting my blog 5 years ago now to this radio show is I'm a firm believer that we have to talk about these things, and have intelligent discussions about them to get smarter, and stop repeating some of the mistakes that we make in our society on a day-to-day basis, because so many people just make a snap decision on what's right or wrong or what they believe, and then they run with it. And they hate everyone that disagrees with them, and they scream at them, and you never have an intelligent conversation. And I had this statement on my website at one time that once you think you know 100% about something, you're 100% done learning about it. And I think there's a really true statement that the world should pay more attention to. There's very few things in the world that we really know are 100% true, but we stick to our guns because it's so easy. It's so easy to not take the time to get smarter about it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I didn't do that great of a job of explaining it, but
I knew where you're going with it, though.
Well,
so it was easy,
and it may
to
just be me and you and Heath listening in the world. So as long as I got you, we're good. The Trayvon Martin thing. I'm going to fire it right off, and get the conversation going with what I know. Everything I say today for the next 45 minutes needs to be prefaced with what I know. I think the right decision was made by the jury last night. From the evidence that was presented, I think the jury made the right decision. Again, I wasn't there. I didn't see it all. I'm prefacing it with, there's no way I would feel comfortable making that decision in an actual legal arena right now. I will also say that I think that the state, the prosecution, did a poor job, in presenting evidence. I'm not saying that I think that George Zimmerman was innocent and didn't do anything wrong. I don't know that. But the state did a poor job, and with what was presented and the way that the defense presented their case, I think if I was a juror, I would have voted to acquit George Zimmerman last night.
Well, according to the idiotic Florida state laws, I believe you're right. Then they did make the right decision. I think the laws are wrong. The stand your ground law leaves so much open into whatever you want it to be, in places like Florida and Texas and other states that have that law. I mean, you could almost shoot anybody without any recourse, as long as you fall into the lines of that law, which is pretty broad. So what you're saying is the jury made the right decision. They did, according to Florida state law, but in terms of morality, I don't think that was the right decision. I think George Zimmerman is a murderer and probably has some racist stereotype undertones and should probably be in jail.
Yeah, it's, I disagree with you there. I think that George Zimmerman is an overzealous, cross the lines, wannabe vigilante.
Right.
My impression wasn't that he wanted to go take care of this kid because he was black. My impression was that he wanted to be a hero, so he created a situation that wasn't really there to be a hero.
I agree, but do you think if Trayvon Martin was Todd Martin, a 17-year-old white kid dressed in a polo clothes, that George Zimmerman would have been in that situation at all?
I'll tell him, all right, because it's you, Joe, I have guests that I wouldn't do this with, but I have a lot of respect for your intelligence, even though you're just a big dumb weightlifter. I have a lot of respect for your intelligence. Let's have that conversation.
Okay.
Okay. You're from Middle America.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know your, yeah, I do know your history. You're from Middle America. You're walking down the street. Do you have a 100% genuinely exactly the same reaction to I'm using your example, to Todd Martin as you do Trayvon Martin in that situation?
Myself personally?
Yes.
No, absolutely not.
Do you have a little bit different reaction?
100%.
Based on skin color?
Sure.
Okay. I do too. I set you up to have to answer a very hard question there.
It's an easy question though. It's the same thing if a little old lady was across the street, right? You wouldn't feel anything.
And it's, I don't even really know where I'm going with this other than I just want people to consider the fact that the way, and I've spent, I'm not saying every one of you out there, but I've actually spent a lot of time looking into this case because I wanted to be able to talk about it intelligently. And I want everyone to consider the fact that George Zimmerman may not have been, he also may have been, I don't know, but he may not have been a racist guy out gunning for a black kid. That he may have been someone that overreacted because of some racial stereotype scenarios. I think that George Zimmerman genuinely thought, because he convinced himself that Trayvon Martin was up to something, and then decided to become a hero. And then you get into a faulty law or loopholes in a law, however anyone's going to word it. That allows someone that wants to create a situation so they're a hero, to shoot someone. I'll also tell you this. Once the contact was made, I think George Zimmerman, the evidence was overwhelming that once contact was made, Trayvon Martin was winning the fight. And continuing to beat on George Zimmerman. All the witnesses in the trial, which may or may not be the prosecution's fault for not calling enough witnesses, said that Trayvon Martin was on top of him, pounding the back of his head on the concrete. Now again, yes, I understand that that's George Zimmerman's fault, maybe, because he continued to follow him. I don't want to spin this in circles and keep rambling. There's a lot more to this than some racist guy ran up and shot a black kid. There's a whole lot more to this than that. We may have to wait till the next break. There was a ton of stuff. Trayvon Martin had a small bag of women's jewelry and a crowbar on him. He was high. No, that's not true. I misworded it. He had THC in his system. He had been smoking marijuana.
Within the last 60 days, probably.
At some time, because of how, it's amazing to me that they can take a drop of blood from each of us and figure out somebody that we were related to 7,000 years ago, but they can't decide how long ago it's been since someone smoked marijuana, just that they have. But yes. The media, for the first year of this deal, painted Trayvon as the all-American, never did anything wrong.
Todd Martin.
Right. Yeah, gotcha. Exactly. And created a bigger reaction to mm-hmm. it. You know, there's two sides to this. Trayvon had issues just like every human sure. being was. The media put him on a pedestal and created some of this situation as well. My main point, if anyone's listening today, is please just take the time to inform yourselves. I wanted so bad. I mean, were you doing the Twitter and or Facebook thing right after the verdict came out?
Oh yeah, Twitters.
Oh my goodness. I wanted so bad to tweet something along the lines of please inform yourselves, because some of the people are, you know, I mean, people are tying it. You're just waiting for somebody to make it a government conspiracy the way people get so
as they always
on
do.
Social media about the thing.
I saw an exact tweet actually about what you're saying, about how someone said, you know, people who are crying foul and need to inform themselves on the laws. And that person was right in the terms of the law. He did, you know, fit into the law, but that doesn't take away the fact that a 17-year-old boy who was walking down the street is now dead, and George Zimmerman was the cause of that. So I think that the real issue is, you know, the law itself, what happened, like you mentioned, we may never know exactly what happened or who was winning or who even started it or whether Trayvon was up to no good or not. But the fact remains that George Zimmerman was armed, confronted him, and now a 17-year-old kid is dead.
But in essence, I agree 100% with everything you just said right there. And I think that because of what you just said and our American legal system, which is full of holes but is the greatest in the world, people, I'm telling you, I've been around the world and seen other legal systems, and the way that our founding fathers put so many protections for the accused in place, because we don't really know, is why, in fact, the jury, in my opinion, preface, wasn't there, don't really know, made the right choice last night. And we as a country have to deal with that. And unfortunately, the Martin family, is being forced to deal with that as well. It's a hard thing. This is not a cut and dry, and I'm not going to get on here and so many just moron conservatives are going to get on and scream about this being a victory for gun owners and a victory for self-defense, and that's not what it is in any way, shape, or form. It's not a minus George Zimmerman. Someone put this is a no-win situation for anyone.
Right, except for George Zimmerman.
This is a win for George Zimmerman,
right,
because he had an option of winning or losing, and no one else won in this situation. Even the morons that think they won this did nothing but hurt law-abiding legitimate gun owners. Because now they're the George Zimmermans of the world.
Right.
You know, even though they're not, that's the way they're going to be portrayed and painted.
I think mostly they were almost that before anyways, so.
Some of them were, and that's fine. I disagree avidly with you there and own. I think that the loudmouth figureheads of the movement.
Right.
But there's a lot of good people, there's a lot of good people in the world carrying guns that would have handled that situation insanely differently.
I agree with
and
that.
And no one would have ever known that they were carrying a gun, because there was no need from the time the dispatcher said, "We don't need you to follow him,"
mm-hmm.
Which is probably the most misquoted fact of the whole thing. The police did not tell him to stop following him. They said, "We don't need you to do that, Mr. Zimmerman."
I mean, that's really what they're saying, though, isn't it? We don't need you to do that. You're not the police. We'll take care of it. Isn't that what they're implying? Should they have said more directly? Because George Zimmerman said during the trial he thought it was God's plan that he killed Trayvon Martin,
right,
which was different from what the dispatcher's plan was, apparently.
He thought, he thought it was God's plan that he intervened because he thought something fishy was happening.
Right.
You just got a little bit mainstream media there and changed it to he thought it was God's plan.
He said, well, okay, the incident itself. Right, you're right.
He said it. It was screwy that he said it. But, yeah, you know, there would have been other people, or, you know, if I was there in a neighborhood.
It wasn't even his neighborhood, though, right?
He was a volunteer.
But it was a gated community that he did not live in.
Right, but he was a volunteer neighborhood watch person there.
But not for that neighborhood.
Yeah, well, not by the time. Initially,
okay, they started moved into, and then gotcha.
Yeah. If I was there and felt like this person was up to something, and called the police and they were on their way, I'd have kept a block in between me and that person. And I can even see myself, Joe, being possessed with the thought that this person, and it doesn't have anything to do with their skin color,
sure,
that this person was up to something. I'm not just going to let them go ahead and do it.
Sure.
I'm just going to keep my distance and wait for the police to get there. I don't conceal carry, but I'm a gun owner. And I'm a legitimate, responsible person that would have respected that person enough to not confront them. But you're the type of person too that is going to have a protectionary reaction at times.
Absolutely.
I mean, if I'm not implying this is the way the situation was, but if that person was legitimately doing something, you know, I'm talking about harassing somebody, mm-hmm, beating somebody up, breaking in a window, you're not the type of guy to just walk by and let that happen.
No way. I'd probably be overzealous myself in a situation where I thought that something was going wrong. I would probably perceive it in the way of, I need to be a hero more often than I would be, oh, I'm not sure about that situation. There's been several times in my life where I thought that there was a situation where someone was in danger, and my immediate reaction was to help. You know, and I've gone up to a situation before where it was like, oh, and then the last second I realized, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was. I almost looked like a real fool.
Right. Now, that's not in defense of George Zimmerman.
No, because I don't carry a gun to shoot people.
He created – that's not – I would contend that's not the differentiating factor. I would contend the differentiating factor is he made more of a situation than it really was.
Right.
He created – this situation. It's happened before. It's not the first time where people want to be a hero, so they exaggerate details or create a situation in their mind that's not really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that's what happened. But anyhow, I don't know where this conversation is going for sure. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back with more from the Cody Talk Show.
We all get heartburn now and then. If you get it often, you may have acid reflux. The people at the Hutchinson Clinic are experts at treating acid reflux and in diagnosing and treating a related condition called Barrett's esophagus. You can develop this precancerous condition from years of acid reflux. Dr. Anand in our gastroenterology department can treat Barrett's with a new non-invasive procedure called RFA, radio frequency ablation. Dr. Anand completed her internal medicine residency and her gastroenterology and hepatology fellowship at the University of Kansas Hospital in Kansas City, Kansas. She is board certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Gastroenterology. Talk to Dr. Anand and get more information about RFA from the Hutchinson Clinic Gastroenterology Department at 669-2798. Hutchinson Clinic, setting a gold standard.
It's the Pretty Prairie Rodeo, July 17th through the 20th, Kansas' largest night rodeo of the Boot Hill Casino Championship Rodeo Series, sponsored in part by Laird Noller of Hutchinson. Wednesday and Thursday are family nights, 12 and under free. There's pony rides and DJ dancing after the rodeo with your ticket. Mutton busting all four nights. Get your tickets at Vanderbilt's in Wichita, Long's in Hutchinson, Woodard Mercantile in Mays, or call 800-638-2702.
Do you have too much stuff and need to get rid of it all? Or are you looking for a bargain right in your own backyard or in the next town? Check out BST Exchange, the best way to buy, sell, or trade locally. Users can list items for sale, browse all available items, and buyers and sellers can communicate with each other right through the site. Plus, be sure to check out the upcoming garage sale feature. If you have a garage sale coming up, you can list the location, add details of what you have for sale, and include pictures to show buyers why they need to check out your sale. And if you're a treasure hunter, you can view all the garage sales individually or on the interactive map to help plan out your strategy. The best part? You can place a garage sale listing at no cost. That's right, it's free. With local networks all over our listening area, you can buy, sell, or trade today. Go to AdAstroRadio.com today to get started for free. That's AdAstroRadio.com.
KSKU. Cody Tom.
All right, we're back with Trayvon. With not,
no,
with
I'm
not
Trayvon.
Trayvon. Yeah. With not Trayvon. We're back on the Cody Talk Show. We've been having a Trayvon Martin discussion. I don't think Joe and I have great. Joe and I are not parallel politically sometimes, but still have great discussions about it. I respect the fact that unlike some of the people in the world that I talk to, that he informs himself about things. Instead of just glancing at his Facebook page and making a decision about things. I'll sum up the Trayvon Martin decision a little bit. And I think that we agree that it's not, it's not a black and white thing. And by that, I mean nothing about race. I mean, it's not a clear cut. It was a really easy decision that someone got right or wrong. There was a whole lot more going on to this case. I hope that the reactions to it are peaceful. That's where I'll put it. I think reactions from different sides and their right to do that to decisions made by our government, which a jury trial, even though it's of your peers, is a decision being handed down by the government. Peaceful, intelligent reaction and debate on those is the joy of this country. People don't get the right to be verbally against a decision made in a courtroom if they live in Iran, but they do here, and it's what makes this the greatest country in the world. But if you're gonna make those reactions, you actually have a responsibility to use the information that is out there publicly to have somewhat of an informed, intelligent reaction to it. That's
right. And I'll just add, Cody and I do disagree on how the verdict came out. I think George Zimmerman should be guilty. And any of you out there who agree with me, just remember though that we weren't there. We weren't in the courtroom. We don't know all the facts, and a jury of what, 12 people was it?
Six in Florida. Was for some six? Reason, okay. In a felony trial, they have six, which I thought.
Six of them and five of them were women. But either way, they did spend 2 days. They spent 2 days and 16 hours deliberating that case after hearing both sides of the story, and then they made that decision. So it wasn't a rash, all of a sudden decision. So just remember that we weren't there. They were in the courtroom. And so while I disagree with the decision, I've got to believe that they at least were better informed than I was.
Also, they did not come back with a "he's innocent and didn't do anything wrong" verdict. For people that don't understand the justice system, which again, it's got holes in it, but I can promise you it's the best in the world, the state has the burden of proof. Mm-hmm. The state has to really, really win. The defense only has to not lose.
Right, reasonable doubt, which is not the case in all trials, which is unfortunate, but in this one it was.
Right, and so don't take it that those six women were even fans of George Zimmerman or think that he was a hero in this situation. There's a lot of people that are going to say the state went after too aggressive of a charge.
They give them two options. They give them manslaughter as well.
Yeah, but even manslaughter is a pretty, there could have been, there's all kinds of accidental or third degree is a lesser charge than manslaughter. There was people last night on the news, and there's going to be more blaming this on the prosecution for being too aggressive in the charge that they wanted to go after. Anyway, we touched on it. You about set it off a little bit. But let's talk about, gun ownership.
Shouldn't we talk about something, a hot button issue instead of
something that no one cares
about?
Right,
nobody cares about this.
Let's talk about the Second Amendment. You made some comments during the break. I think that we, not completely disagree on this, but we're pretty far on opposite ends of the spectrum on that. And I kind of have for the last, this is our 52nd episode, by the way, which kind of seems like on a weekly show it should be a year, but we're actually past a year because I've missed a few dates. But this is our in Cody Talks weeks, this is our 1 year anniversary. Because
congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I come on once every 26 episodes.
Doesn't mean we've you've been on, this is your third time, isn't it?
Second time. Oh no, you're right, it is the third. My math is horrible.
Oh, math. Yeah, that's all
different. Well, there's
math.
Three types of people in this world. People who can do math and those who can't.
Right. Right, exactly. So the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Okay, well, let me just say, I just don't understand guns. I just don't get it. I'm 33 years old, I'm almost 34. I've never once needed to have a gun. I've been in, you know, big cities, little cities. I grew up on a farm, so I did shoot guns. You know, I've gone hunting before. In fact, recently I've just taken up shooting at the shooting range. But other than that, I just don't understand the need for it. I think that, you know, situations like with George Zimmerman or Columbine or all these other things happen because of guns, and I just don't hear that often, like, oh, guns saved the day. You know, thank goodness that person had a gun because trouble was avoided. So I don't know the answer to the Second Amendment, but I just don't understand the reason to own a gun. Can you explain to me why a person would ever need a gun?
Okay, well, let me, let me preface this a little bit. First of all, I think that the NRA makes big, bold, rash, hardcore statements that hurt the cause. At the same time, I'm a lifetime member of the NRA.
Because I think we all should be, actually.
Well,
because then we could make voting decisions. And
well, I think that our Second Amendment rights are important enough that someone should be fighting for them.
But why? Why are they so important?
That's what I'm saying. I wanted to preface that with, I'm not a screaming, yelling, you're all wrong, Joe's a jerk for everything that he just said kind of guy. I understand.
And you'll shoot me if I continue.
Right. I'm not that guy. I also have a couple of safes worth of guns in my house. Let's from a Second Amendment, from a pro Second Amendment guy standpoint, let's pick apart what you just said.
Okay.
And I'm a very technical and literal guy when people say things, because I think that you should be, to really get into a decent conversation about it. You said that things like this George Zimmerman thing and Columbine were because of guns. That statement I completely disagree with. They were because of human beings making a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were they made worse than by the existence of guns in the world? Probably in Columbine. George Zimmerman situation, I don't really think so at all. Maybe George Zimmerman had the guts to think he could be a hero because he had a gun. I think that situation would have gone the exact same thing if he'd have had a machete. I mean, I don't think that situation was made worse. Columbine was made worse by the existence of guns. Sooner or later, some big athletic kid would have picked up a folding chair and ended that thing in Columbine sooner, had they not been armed. The second thing is, you used the word need.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that word either. I defend it from a right standpoint. It's just like, I have the right to say whatever I want in this country. And it's not so I can be a loudmouth jerk that degrades people. It's so the government can't stop me from doing what I want to do unless I create a victim. And it's in my mind, it's the same. I don't need a gun to exist in my day-to-day life. I'm telling you that right now, and that's absolutely true because mm-hmm. I sometimes go weeks without touching a gun. So I don't need a gun to exist.
Right.
I buy my groceries in a store for the most part. I got a whole bunch of fish in my freezer and some pheasants and quail in the freezer, but it's not a matter of existence, with those things. So my argument is not that I need a gun to exist. It's just like I don't need this laptop. I don't need the internet. I don't need freedom of speech for my family to exist on a day-to-day basis. But it's one of those freedoms and one of those things that makes our country the greatest country in the world with all its problems. I'm not a blind patriot that thinks America is perfect. I do think it's the greatest country in the world beyond a shadow of a doubt, because we've stood behind those things that we don't need. And there's been so many countries where a dictator has said, you know, our people having freedom of speech to say whatever they want is inciting riots and violence and revolution. I'm going to shut that down. It's not because I'm a jerk as a dictator. It's because it's causing problems.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is, right? Sometimes it's just obnoxious teenagers throwing rocks through walls because they want cheaper cigarettes.
Right.
So they shut down their right to say those things publicly to get the situation under control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely opposed to that. I'm completely in favor of arresting obnoxious teenagers that throw rocks through windows and punishing them. But if they want to gather peacefully, they should be able to say whatever they want to say, no matter how ridiculous it is,
well,
right?
Of course, I agree with that.
To the point that if Fred Phelps was here in this room, I would give it everything I have to beat that old man senseless. And then I would go to jail because I realize I'm breaking the law and he has the right to say what he wants. And in fact, that passionate belief in that led to me, that and the fact that I wasn't doing very well in college led to me, that's why I joined the military, the Marine Corps,
mm-hmm.
was because of how passionately I believe in those freedoms, those rights. And Fred Phelps has it. The big one when we were kids was burning the flag. Right,
right? I remember, yep.
I went to Boys State. You know what Boys State was? The American Legion puts it on. And I went to Boys State, and that's what we argued at Boys State. It's a mock government thing okay. that kids in high school go to. I got in a fist fight because I thought it should be illegal to burn the flag. And I came home, and some people that I really respected said, as long as it's their flag.
Right.
Because otherwise, you're burning someone's
property. Right.
As long as it's their flag, all these guys and gals over the last 250 years have actually fought for their right to burn.
Correct.
Now, I got in a fist fight, and to this day, if I walk up on you, Joe, and you're lighting up the American flag, I'm coming at you. But if the U.S. government says, you can't do that, Joe, we're going to make that illegal to burn your property or to say what you want, I'm going at them. Because I think you have the right to do that, even though I drastically disagree with it happening.
So I don't understand that. So you agree that I should have the right to do it, but you are going to try to inflict bodily harm on me for having that right.
Because it makes me mad. I think it's stupid that you're doing it. It's
why?
Wrong.
Why does it enrage you so much, though?
Because of what that flag stands for to me. Because of all the lives that people gave following that flag.
So that they could burn it, though.
Exactly.
Exactly. So I don't know. I guess I.
But by no means do I think that the government should come down and say you can't, because it's a freedom of expression
mm-hmm.
thing to me.
Right.
And understanding that differentiation that just because I don't agree with what you're doing, I'll still stand behind you to keep there from being a law to mm-hmm. not allow you to do it.
Well, that brings me back to Fred Phelps. Let me ask you about this. Okay, so there are certain parts of freedom of speech that are not guaranteed. You can't stand up and yell fire in a movie theater. You can't yell bomb on a plane. Those are not protected under freedom of speech, correct?
Right.
Okay.
The government has the ability to, in matters of public safety,
sure,
prevent you from prevent things from coming out of your mouth legally.
Okay, and so just like now, I think that burning the flag is freedom of expression, and you should be able to do that as long as it's not your flag, because you're not doing anything but to your own property.
As long as it is your flag.
Correct, yeah. Right. So for Fred Phelps, though, when they do some of the things they do, like protesting at soldiers' funerals, to me, that's like yelling fire in a theater or bomb on a plane. I don't think that should be protected, because it's not your funeral to protest.
Right, but if they stand on public property, which they have to.
Right.
When they came to Hutch, they got put in the middle of a bar ditch with 2.5 feet of water in it. But when they get put somewhere and stand on public property, we have to allow them the right to say whatever they want, no matter how ludicrous it is. And then, in fact, what's really crazy is we have to use government resources and funds to protect them while they're doing it. It
right.
happens everywhere they go. There's police officers who, for the most part, want to shoot them. That have to stand there and do their duty to protect them.
But what I don't understand is because there's other than fire in a theater and bomb, there's other things that aren't protected as well. Isn't hate speech, like you can't say racist terms, you can't.
Oh, no, sure, you can say anything racist you want to say.
And it's completely legal.
Absolutely.
Well, but I disagree that that should be that should
you
be.
You think
legal.
It should be illegal to say racist things?
Is the Ku Klux Klan an expression of?
They're perfectly legal.
Really?
Oh yeah, the Klan
so
is illegal.
Ride around and
the Klan is illegal. There's Klan chapters that are recognized by the IRS.
Well, at least I'm not
nonprofits.
Thinking that the Second Amendment is the only one I disagree with, because now I also disagree with the First Amendment in some cases.
Well, and it takes a what it comes to. Let's take a quick break because we went right over it, Heath. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and deal with. We'll mold Joe's mind a little bit.
Want to beat the summer heat? Visit the Camp's convenience store in your neighborhood for summertime refreshment. Stay hydrated and cool off with a Camp's 32-ounce fountain drink. Right now, just 79 cents. Stop by the Camp's in your neighborhood in Cheney, Lyons, Lynchburg, and McPherson. And visit them on Facebook for additional specials. Hurry in to get your 32-ounce fountain drink, now just 79 cents, at Cap's Convenience Store, where they spell convenience with a K.
You choose. You can watch a movie, or you can experience it, feel it, live it in the Cosmosphere's Cary Digital Dome Theater, where the two-story dome wraps you into the action. Now showing Hollywood feature films every night. Experience state-of-the-art digital clarity. Feel the surround sound. Live the excitement around you, above you, in the Cary Digital Dome Theater at the Cos.
Now showing The Great Gatsby every night at 7. See Cosmo.org for details.
The Well in downtown McPherson is a place to gather with friends and family to enjoy delicious baked goods and coffees in a soulful atmosphere. And with events scheduled daily, you can always find fellowship at The Well. For a complete schedule of our events, like the Fellowship of Christian Singles, Adult Bible Study, and live music every Friday, go to our website at inthewell.com. The Well also has a nice selection of books, decor, children's gifts, and more. Come see all we have in The Well, located in downtown McPherson.
At A5 Western in downtown McPherson, we're your rodeo and county fair clothing headquarters. For the ladies, we have clothing brands like Miss Me and Rock and Roll Cowgirl. For the men, Ariat, Panhandle Slim and Wrangler. And boots for the whole family from Tony Lama, Justin, Ariat, and Twisted X. From bling to basic, we've got everything you need for the fair, the farm, and the dance floor. Like us on Facebook for the latest news and specials. Visit downtown McPherson and see us at A5 Western. Get our brand on.
KSKU. Cody Talks.
All right, we're back. We've transformed or transgressed the two from a discussion on the decision on the Trayvon Martin case to a First Amendment issue, and it really started out as a Second Amendment issue, and then we worked our way back to a First Amendment issue. In the big scheme of things, a person's ability to do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, as long as they don't step on someone else's liberties to do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say, is what makes this country different. I'm 100% in agreement with you that Fred Phelps is a moron, and I would love to throw you know, Volkswagen Bugs at him. The Ku Klux Klan, it's sad to me that people still organize behind that mission. But at the same time, as soon as the government steps in and makes those things illegal, we're one step closer to the government. Because it's, and I'm not the kind of person that says first they're going to take my assault rifles and then they're going to take my hunting rifles. I understand that there's two different trains of thought there. It's not that I'm not going to give up one right in fear that they're going to take another. It's that I'm not going to give up one right because there's no reason to give it up. People can walk around and claim that there's clowns falling from the sky. And it's just as crazy, not just as hateful, but just as crazy as Fred Phelps or the Ku Klux Klan. And we have to let those people have that right, because that straight line that was drawn in the sand by our founding fathers was so genius, because they saw that the Church of England had, in fact, taken away the right to speak out against the church. And it didn't originally start as a power trip. It started as it was causing fist fights that were leading to gunfights that were leading to wars. So someone said, well, we should just stop them from being able to say that. Then it converted into a power trip, and they started taking away more and more and more of their rights. And our founding fathers really were genius in their creation of the Constitution when they realized that we have to let people say that clowns are falling from the sky if they want to.
Right, but clowns falling from the sky doesn't infringe on someone else's liberties like, in my opinion, the Ku Klux Klan and the Westboro Baptist Church do infringe.
Whose liberties does Westboro Baptist Church infringe upon?
Shouldn't it be a liberty to be able to mourn in peace when you lose a child?
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
Not on public property.
I mean, what you're saying is that if I'm mourning on public property and they're over here on a separate public property, that they have the right to do it.
Absolutely, they have the right to do it. I hate it, and have seen, you know, it's the response to that is the only legitimate response to that is private citizens taking care of it in a legal way,
mm-hmm.
which the Freedom Riders do. And if you've ever been to anywhere that Fred Phelps was,
right.
you actually end up excited and invigorated and with goosebumps. Because when he came to Hutch 4 years ago and ended up getting a little spot in a bar ditch to protest a soldier's funeral, there was 1,000 motorcycles with American flags, and the family had zero. Because when the family stepped out and Phelps started yelling, he had to compete with 1,000
right.
Harley-Davidson engines. You know, that's the response to it that America provides is the private citizen. Because once the government says what we think you're doing is morally wrong,
mm-hmm.
you've just stepped over a line that now the next set of what's morally wrong, abortion is the next issue. The government has decided because some of them think it's morally wrong, they're stepping into a woman's body and making health decisions about
right.
it. You know, and that's the gray line. It's marijuana, right?
Yeah.
The government thinks it's morally wrong for you to sit at home and smoke a joint. You're not hurting anyone.
Right.
They're stepping into your lives and making a moral decision. And the thing about moral decisions is everybody thinks differently
right.
about them. My mom also thinks you're wrong, Joe, for sitting at home. I have no idea if Joe
I don't smoke
dope.
Marijuana, but.
But, in, right? And when we step across that line into moral decisions, we start infringing on people's rights.
Do you think that this country going forward will become more morally restrictive or less morally restrictive?
Less.
Less.
Absolutely less. Which is also people thinking that owning a gun is morally wrong, or using a gun or having guns at home in my safe, I'm not going to get into hunting because you can make a completely different argument about it, because there's people that can argue that the animal is a legitimate victim, right?
Sure.
A different argument. But the possession and legal ownership of a gun, the only reason that can be illegal is if you make a moral decision that it's wrong for me to own a gun.
Right. I don't think it's morally wrong. I just don't get it.
And that's perfectly – just like you don't get the Ku Klux Klan, right?
Sure, yeah.
Just like you don't get Fred Phelps, and just like you don't get a guy walking around in nothing but a trench coat saying clowns are falling from the sky.
Right. Wouldn't you classify them all in the same group then, right?
I would classify them all as people
that, I don't
that
understand.
Have a right to do what they're doing, but other people want to make it illegal because right. they disagree with them. I would classify them all in that group.
Yeah.
I would also classify people that smoke marijuana in their basement in that group.
Yes.
I would classify people that build cars that go faster than the speed limit in that group. I would classify people that want to eat cheeseburgers every day in that group. I love cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah.
People make a lot of bad health decisions. And in fact, the government needs to let them make those bad health decisions. And I want to disagree with that at times too, but,
right.
but we can't as a government say, I disagree with what you're eating, unless it's human flesh that you didn't get legally, whatever.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That's my opinion on it, is when we start making moral decisions, all that is accomplished from it is making innocent people into criminals.
Right.
And that's my defense of the Second Amendment, my defense of the freedom of speech, giving access to morons being on the airwaves at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. My defense to people that burn the flag and badmouth soldiers' funerals. I'll be the first one to punch him in the mouth and try and drown him, but then I'll be the first one to admit what I did and go to jail because it was illegal. Just because I don't like what someone's doing doesn't justify me thinking it should be illegal. Same argument with marijuana. Same argument with, abortion is another gray area, that's not as easily defined, but that's my thought process on it.
I like it.
We're over. You got anything you want to say? Joe tweets at ICT Fitness. And if you're on Twitter, if you're on the Twitter, he's a worthy follow, because sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's motivational, and
sometimes it's stupid.
Talks about clowns falling from the sky.
Yeah.
But Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Great conversation this morning. Sometimes the show's not this good a conversation, so thanks for coming over and improving the quality of the content.
One thing I did want to add, Steerwalt. Last name is Steerwalt.
What did I say?
I don't remember. You said two different things, I think, but that's all right. It's okay. I get it. Heidt Schmidt's a little hard.
Joe Steerwalt. I'm sorry. I thought I knew it and stepped in. I've known you long enough that I should know
your
last name.
You said it so confidently that I was like, wow, maybe that is my last name. I'll run with it.
Are you sure that's not what I said?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, that's embarrassing.
It's okay.
Wait till the last minute to let me know I screwed your name up.
All the seven listeners were going, oh, it's Steerwalt? Let me get that, write that down.
Changing
their notes? Yeah.
You know, some people would use a commercial break to correct the host.
You know,
All right, folks. We'll see you next week on Cody Talks.
Don't matter if you ain't left or right. Listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks. It seems no matter if I'm right or you're wrong, it's just a means to open up the dialogue. Shout out, it's time for your voice to be heard. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks.
Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.